Got to press continue there. Okay. Well, again, a great pleasure to be with you. Am I coming across loud and clear? The volume's okay. Good. Thank you. I've got fond memories of Townhill. I was there at Alan's induction. I think it was 1999. Alan, there or thereabouts. And we've been friends in the gospel for many, many years. And it's good to renew fellowship with Alan and Anne and the folks there at Townhill as well as we emerge from this most difficult of times. And I'm sure the Lord has taught us many, many lessons that I hope we won't forget. And that one of the most valuable ones we've learned as a fellowship is the wonder and the privilege of Christian fellowship. And we've missed just being able to meet together, and something I trust we'll never take for granted again. This morning, I want to come to what is perhaps my favorite passage in the New Testament. I could say that about many passages, and maybe they vie for position. But this truly is a little cameo of the gospel and the compassion and the heart of Christ. So much is revealed here for us to take in. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this particular incident and give different aspects and reflections on it. Luke is a doctor, so he gives an insight that Matthew and Mark actually leave out. He talks about the extent of the disease that the man has. He's a leper, and Luke tells us he's full of leprosy. That means he's had this condition not recently, but he's had it for years, and it's taken its toll on the man. So what is leprosy? Well, initially, you wouldn't see it. It's a disease that's hidden initially. It works internally. The disease gets to work in a hidden way, but the consequences soon begin to manifest themselves, and maybe it's a rash and a reddening on the surface of the skin, and that patch begins to grow and distribute around the body. At that point, a Jew would have to do something. He'd need to go and show himself to the priest, who'd have a close look at the rash, and if it were confirmed that it was a skin disease — there were many, and leprosy was one of them — it would have devastating consequences for him. And it seems that this man, the leper, had done that many years ago. But physically, the disease would advance. It would affect the nervous system, and the sense of feeling would go from many parts of the body. The skin would harden, and it would begin to crack, and an oozy, foul-smelling oil would come out of these fissures in the skin. It would affect the voice, and it would become quite gravelly. So you'd hear the man was a leper. The smell of the leper, the feel of the leper, the touch of the leper, it would affect every area of this man's life. It said if you encountered a leper, you would be aware of his presence with all five of your senses. You'd see he was a leper.
You'd hear he was a leper.
You could feel he was a leper if you were allowed to touch him, which you were not in Israel 2,000 years ago. You would smell that he was a leper. And it said that the odor would dissolve in your saliva, and you could taste the presence of a leper as well. Socially, once you were diagnosed with this skin disease, again, the consequences were profound. You could never go home again. You couldn't be in close contact. There was rigorous social distancing, and it was more than the 2 meters or the 1 meter plus. 16 feet was the closest you could get to somebody, or 100 feet if you were downwind of somebody. If you were a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a grandparent, you couldn't go home. You had to live outside of normal human companionship. Your only companions were other lepers. You could live in a leper colony, such as the 10 lepers who met Jesus on one occasion. You weren't allowed to wear tidy clothes. You weren't allowed to comb your hair. You had to wear a mask. Does that sound familiar? You couldn't get too close. If people were coming close to you, you would ring a bell and you would say, unclean, keep away. If you were getting too close, people were allowed to throw rocks at you to drive you away. Spiritually, the consequences were profound. You weren't allowed in a synagogue, obviously. You were no longer allowed at the temple in Jerusalem. You were not welcome. You had to stay away. And the conclusion to it all was hopelessness, because there was no cure. Were it only a skin disease, then that could be cured. It might fade. You go back to the priest and he pronounced you clean after you had given your offerings, according to Leviticus 14. But for leprosy, no, there was no cure. Hopelessness, it was a living death, because actually the extremities would begin to fall off your body. Fingers would disappear and toes. The nose would dissolve into the face. It was a terrible, terrible disease. No hope, no cure, a living death, and eventually physical death. This is the leper. He's full of leprosy. But we learn in Luke's gospel, something remarkable happens. While he was in one of the cities, that's Jesus, there came a man full of leprosy. The Authorized Version adds another word that's actually there in the Greek, and it's important that it is there. It's a Greek word, idu, which means have a close look at this, get this. The Authorized Version translates it, behold. It's something unexpected. There's Jesus in the city, and something that shouldn't have happened happens, because the leper's not allowed in the city. He's unclean. He's not allowed in close community with people who are not lepers. And so Luke says, behold, idu, there came a man who was full of leprosy. So this should never have happened, but happen it did. You might wonder how the leper slipped through. I mean, in our chapel, we've got some deacons who are very hot on social distancing, and you don't get in without a mask unless you're exempt. And boy, you try and get through our deacons on the door, but maybe some slip through now and again. And now, oh, happy day today. Everybody's welcome. Come in, one and all. But this leper, he gets through. We're not told how he does it, but he's determined and he's unstoppable, because I guess he must have heard that astonishing things were happening in Capernaum. There was a miracle worker and people were being restored, and news gets to the leper colony. And many lepers would have been in the leper colony, but only one leaves and drags his way towards Capernaum. And why does only one come? Because only one actually believes. Only, you see, to come to Jesus Christ, you have to have something called faith. You can believe vaguely in God, and that's not being a Christian. But to believe in Jesus, I had a thrilling conversation with a chap in our garden a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's a month now. His wife recently converted. And he came along and he said this. He said, I used to think that Christianity was all about God, but it's not, is it? It's all about Jesus. And I thought that was profound, coming from a man who's not actually yet converted, but clearly he's being drawn and he sees the clues in the name. Christianity is about Christ. It seems so simple, really. It's all about Jesus. And he hears about Jesus. And so nothing's going to stop him. What he's done for others, perhaps he'll do for me. And he drags his way towards Capernaum, where he's heard these astonishing things are happening. And he sees a crowd of people, and there's one in the middle. This must be him. He's probably never seen him before. He hasn't had an Instagram. He hasn't had a Facebook message and a picture. Here he is. But news filters through, and he makes his way, dragging his way. He's full of leprosy. Be hard to walk. He's shuffling along and he gets through the barriers. Nothing's going to stop him. And notice two things about this man. Notice his faith, and then notice his concern. His faith is immense. He comes to Jesus, and he falls on his knees, putting all the accounts together. Mark adds more information here. And Mark says he implores Jesus. Luke doesn't say that, but Mark does. He pleads with Jesus. The Greek word parakalo is one you'll learn today. If you go to Greece, it means please, parakalo. You can. There's no doubt in the leper's mind. This is faith. You can make me clean. But here's what bothers the leper. And here's what might bother you if you're not yet a Christian. Here's what might bother you if you are a Christian. Do you doubt the compassion of Christ towards you? And all the way along, the leper hasn't doubted the power of Christ, but he does have a doubt. Would he bother about somebody like me? So he says, according to Luke, if you will, you can. And Mark expands on that. Mark says that the leper says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I don't doubt that you can, but here's what bothers me. And I understand it. Why should you bother with someone like me? There's an extremity here in human condition. Perhaps in Israel, there could be no one in a more extreme position than the leper. Physically, a living death, cast out from society, not able to go home to a wife, to parents, to friends, not able to work. So all they could do is beg from a distance, not able to go into any spiritual community, the synagogue or the temple. Why should Jesus bother with me, the leper thinks? If you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, Jesus is compassion. Jesus says here in Luke, I am willing, I will. But here's where I love Mark's account, because he expands. And Mark adds some wonderful information here that we need to take on board, whether we're converted yet or not. Because we can forget as Christians that the heart of Jesus is all about the heart of Jesus. And apart from the heart of Jesus, we wouldn't be here. We could have religion, but no reality. And the heart of Jesus is infinitely kind. Do you get that? There's a wonderful poem by Frederick Faber. There's a wideness in God's mercy that is wider than the sea. There's a depth in his compassion that is more than liberty. God is infinitely kind. And here is God the Son, Jesus Christ. And what is revealed here is the compassion of Christ, because Mark says, and I wonder how he gets this insight. Mark tells us that filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and did something remarkable. It hadn't been done for years. He touched the leper. I am willing. Be clean. Now, compassion. How do you see compassion? What did Mark see? Well, Mark didn't see anything. He wasn't there. We believe, tradition tells us, that Mark gets his information, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he was a close companion of the disciple Peter. And Peter was there. And Peter is recounting this, we believe, to Mark. And he'd say, oh, Mark, I tell you, it's quite a scene. It should never have happened. The leper came. And, he had real faith in Jesus. You can make me clean, but Lord, are you willing? If you're willing. And I tell you, Mark, it was amazing. Jesus, filled with compassion, said, I am willing, be clean. How did Peter know that Jesus was filled with compassion? What was the visible, tangible sign of that? Was it tears? Was it a sigh? Was it in his eyes? I believe it would have been in his eyes. You know, with masks, it's hard to see people's expressions and how they're feeling, perhaps. But the eyes reveal a great deal. I was hearing a young chap in our church give his testimony recently, and he got to the point where he was converted, and he was faltering and little tears. I could see him because I was interviewing him, little tears in the corner as he remembered very vividly the moment that Christ called him to himself, but filled with compassion. Oh, the heart of Jesus is most wonderfully kind. There's emotion here, and Jesus touches the man. Hadn't happened in years. And the Greek word is a powerful one. It wasn't just a touch and a quick withdrawal. I'm willing. But the Greek word is a strong one. It's he adhered to the man. It's a firm grasp now. It's not a little, I wonder if I touch him quickly, if anybody will notice and I'll get away with it. Because to touch a leper meant that you were unclean, of course. But he doesn't do it in a clandestine way. He grabs, he adheres to the man. I am willing. I am willing. And does Jesus become unclean? Of course not. It's an absurd thing to think that. No, cleansing flows from Jesus to the leper. I am willing. Now, the compassion of Christ ought to be reflected in every true believer. Oh, have a warm heart towards Christ. And when you're keeping your quiet times day by day, it's not just a matter of touching base. You want to adhere to him as he adheres to you. And you want to commune with him. And I think prayer is the key. It's lovely we can read our Bibles, and I would encourage us to read our Bibles, but 2,000 years ago, people weren't carrying scrolls around. They had to remember and memorize, and then they would meditate on the Word of God. And we've lost that wonderful art. We read our bit and say our prayers and run away. Keep it real. Keep it real. It's communion with the one who is infinitely kind. And we've got down to think it's got to be a formal, quiet half an hour away. Well, if you can do that, that's wonderful. But many can't. Many can't. Life is just so busy, but keep it real. Driving the car, pray. Changing the nappies, pray. Peeling the potatoes, pray. Commune with him. This compassion, keep it real. Look at the cure. A command from Christ, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. The restoration was complete. And look at the consequences for the man. They're astonishing. He can hardly believe what's happened. Physically, he is restored. His skin becomes like that of a newborn baby. Socially, he is now allowed to go home for the first time in years. Spiritually, he can go back to the synagogue and the temple. Emotionally, what a relief for this man. We could say a lot about this. I want to cut this down a little. It's a strange command from Jesus. Verse 14, he charged him, that's the leper, to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. Jesus won't bypass the commands of God. And Leviticus 14 made it very clear what the leper had to do. He's got to make now a 90-mile journey down to the temple to see the priest who said, you're unclean. And the priest wouldn't expect him back because the priest knew this was leprosy. This man won't be back. He will die. Now, I want you to make that journey now. And it's a long one. There's no easy jet or buses or cars. I suppose it would be easy donkey is the best thing he could get to make that 90-mile journey down to Jerusalem to see the priest. But go and show. And does Jesus Christ have power to heal lepers? Go and show. And it will be a testimony to the priest that, there is one here now who can cleanse lepers. As a proof to them, here's Exhibit A, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, an application is obvious here. Our condition is more profound than leprosy. We haven't got a physical disease that's temporal. So the leper was released at death, but we have a disease that has eternal consequences. It has temporal consequences, but it also has eternal consequences. And we live in a colony of sinners, and it's not out there. It's amongst us constantly. It's called sin. It's the disease of sin. Initially, perhaps you don't see it. How beautiful to see a newborn baby. And when they're asleep, how innocent and wonderful they look until they waken up. And then sin becomes obvious. And as far as the baby's concerned, the world revolves around him or her. Feed me, change me, hug me, making these great demands. Sin becomes obvious. And it's a disease that infects every single one of us. And the central issue is, instead of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, the law of God is entirely reasonable. We can't do it because we love ourselves with a passion, this self-love, selfish, self-centered. The I in sin is what sin is all about. And it infects every single human being, all 7.6 billion on planet Earth right now. The Bible's very clear. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The consequences are devastating. The wages of sin, we're told, Romans 6 and the first part of 23, is death. The wages of sin is death. It's a physical death. So as you look at me now, the only living bit you see are my eyes. There's a window into the soul there. The rest is death. The hair, it used to be lovely and brown. It used to be a full head, but the top's coming off. The wrinkles, the aches and the pains. I'm dying. And the wages of sin is death, physically. It's one certain thing ahead of me. We're on a conveyor belt, and it's heading in one direction. And eventually I'll drop off the end as you will. The only question is, how long is my conveyor belt? And I can't stop it. I can't reverse it. I don't know how long my conveyor belt is. Is it 64 years long? Is it 94 years long? I know it wasn't 54 years long. It could be 65 years long. How long is your conveyor belt? Sin brings death physically. Sin has got social implications. We break the Ten Commandments and we fracture society and relationships, and there's divorce and there's distancing between friends that comes, and misunderstandings, some willful, there's giving offense, there's taking offense on local levels, national levels, international levels, and wars and disputes and difficulties. And sin has done these terrible things. But the greatest consequence of sin is a spiritual one. Although God is there, we don't know him. The relationship we were made for has been broken. Our raison d'etre is not fulfilled. We were made to know God, and nothing satisfies outside knowing God. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Only God satisfies. But sin has separated us from our God. There's the condition that we have. But wonderfully, the application of the cure. The only cure is Jesus Christ. Now, I heard about him in July 1976, and spiritually, eventually, I was drawn to him. Can Jesus deal with my sin? Yes, of course he can. Calvary, he dealt with my sin. To know God, my raison d'etre, I need a clean life, and I haven't got one. So Jesus came. Who is Jesus? Remember, he's the eternal Son of God who becomes one of us. He really becomes a man. He doesn't stop being God. And in Jesus, you see one who is fully God and fully man. One person, two natures. He's not a split personality. He's not two persons. He's one person, but in that one person are two natures. Fully divine, fully human. And what does he do? As a man, he keeps the law of God in your place and in my place, because we can't do it. And then on Calvary, what happens? He's treated as if he were you and he were me. And he stands condemned in our place. He takes the wrath of a holy God on his own person. The wrath of eternal hell deserved by you and me was taken by Jesus Christ. And he really dies on Calvary. He dies in my place. But death has got a problem with Jesus Christ. Death hangs on to sinners, but he'd done nothing wrong. And so he rose again the third day, proving it's all true. Jesus Christ has power to forgive your sin and my sin. But here's something that might trouble you this morning. I know he can, but would he want to? Is he willing? My friends, Calvary declares not only he has the power, but he has the heart and the compassion to forgive you. Whosoever will come can come. He is willing. The question is, are you willing to be saved? And once saved, my friend, never cease to be amazed. Always stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and always wonder how he could love you, a sinner condemned unclean. And every moment sing out, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song for Sunday morning shall be. How marvelous. Oh, no. And my song shall even Sunday afternoon be, and evening as well. But on Monday morning, that girl in the checkout's going to get it, because if she gets my shopping wrong, she's going to get it. No, no. And my song shall ever be, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me, his compassion to me, my compassion flowing out to others. Forgiven much, we forgive, we bear, and we forbear. And the leper had to go and show himself to the priest. There's something very wise about that. There's another sermon that I'd need to preach on that. Why does he tell him? There's another, when the demoniac wants to come with Jesus, no, you don't come, you go home and tell. But the leper, no, you don't tell, you go and show. Well, I don't want to digress into that sermon now. But anyway, show. It's not tell never, but first of all, show. Our lives should be a powerful display of the gospel, all right? So in the words of Jean-Luc Picard, make it so. A powerful display of the gospel. Go and show yourself to your family as a proof that Christ has power to forgive sins. Go and show yourself to your work colleagues, and maybe you don't have the chance to speak. Well, take it when it comes, but you can display, always display the power of God in your life. And for the Christian, for the leper, what a relief for the leper. Is it a relief that you've been forgiven? If it is, it ought to show constantly. Well, look, I'll leave it there. There's much more that could be said about the leper. There's enough there. If you're not yet saved, you can trust in Christ, surely trust in Christ. For most of us, we are saved. Let's keep on showing the compassion of Christ and be amazed that he would love somebody. I know me. You don't know me. I know me, this rogue. And that Christ should continue to persist with me is an amazing thing. You know you, don't you? Your wife doesn't know you even, but you know you. And God knows you. And Christ still shows compassion. Let's be amazed with that, and let's show that to others as well. Well, look, I'll leave it there.